lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Dr. Andy Bloom, pastor of Central Baptist Church, wrote a booklet entitled Biblical Church Structure some time ago, and I'd like for us to look at some of those things that's contained within that book. Now, I will also add some of the things that I see. I will in no way change what Dr. Bloom has said. I will add some of the things to it by his permission. As we look into the book, Dr. Andy Bloom says this: there are many battles across this land being fought in local churches. The enemy, who would destroy us, delights as we destroy ourselves. After conversing with laity, pastors, and deacons, I find much has to do with a total lack of the knowledge of biblical instruction on church structure or government. End of quote. Well, first of all, let me give you some historical background concerning biblical church structure. Now, if you are a Baptist, you are not really a Protestant. As Baptists, we do not protest, but we proclaim the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 6, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." Well, Paul continues in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, where he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So we see within those verses that I just read, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 6, and Romans 1, 16, we see that Paul the Apostle was ready to preach the gospel. And the Bible itself, in these verses I've read, gives the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is the gospel according to the Scriptures. Now, as we think of church structure and a little bit of the history behind church structure, in the era of Luther, Zwingli, Calvin, and others of that era, Baptists were actually considered a cult by these men. Now, we consider Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons as cults, just as Luther, Zwingli, Calvin, and others during their time considered Baptists as a cult. Well, we know that Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons are cults because they do not believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not believe in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not believe that man's sins can be taken away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, they actually are cults, and they are man-made cults, religion. Well, Baptists were called, first of all, when we think of this in the beginning, Baptists were called Anabaptists, which means rebaptizers. In the year AD 253, Stephen, Bishop of Rome, had excommunicated all the bishops, in other words, pastors, of Asia Minor for holding to the view of rebaptizing. He labeled them Anabaptist. Now, the same Anabaptist was intended to be a derogatory term, that name, as was the word Christian in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. You see in that verse, in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, they were first called Christians at Antioch. It says in that verse, verse 26 of Acts 11, "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." So you see, when someone labeled Baptists as Anabaptists in the beginning, they were actually making fun of Baptists or Anabaptists, rebaptizers. Just as people made fun of Christians back during the book of Acts, where we read in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, they were first called Christians at Antioch, people made fun of them. Well, many churches that are changing their name from Baptist Church to Bible Church or Community Church, this is happening all over the world today. We are honored to carry the name Baptist that beams bright red with the blood of the martyrs. Well, now there is a historical as well as a biblical structure to the Baptist Church in comparison to the Jerusalem Church. Now, we can't say that the Jerusalem Church was a Baptist church. We can't do that. You see, but as we think of this, Baptists have derived much of their doctrinal belief and policy from the Waldenses, according to Dr. Albert Henry Newman, a very knowledgeable church historian. Our King James Version of the Bible was translated from the Waldensian texts, which have become known as Textus Receptus. Well, the Waldensians were founded by Peter Waldo. They were persecuted Christians who fled Rome carrying New Testament manuscripts with them. And they went to great pains to copy the scriptures. The Waldensians would count the letters to the middle of the page. If it did not match up with the manuscript, they would do the whole page over. Each would check the other's work most vigorously. Our King James Version of the Bible was translated from the Waldensian texts. We see there was also another group that made manuscripts during that time, and we think of these, and they were called the Alexandrians. The Alexandrians were well-intentioned, but used slaves to copy the manuscripts. And we think of this, and although the slaves were well-educated and knowledgeable men, the same precautions were not taken as did the Waldensians. The New International Version, Revised Standard Version, New American Standard, New King James, the English Standard Version, I believe a better name would be the English Substandard Perversion, and others are taken from the Alexandrian line, which Bishops Hort and Westcott paved the way. By the way, these men, Westcott and Hort, were heretics. Now, Pastor Bloom says this. He says, personally, when a preacher states a better translation would be, he says, my question is, to which text are you referring? In other words, are you referring to the one that comes down through the ages from the approved text that we get our King James Version from? Or are you going by what Westcott and Hort, two heretics that people follow their teachings even today, does your Bible come down from the heretics, from the Alexandrian line? And by the way, the Alexandrian would be the Egyptian text. Well, early characteristics of Baptists, we look at that. Now, I mentioned Dr. Albert Henry Newman a few minutes ago. Well, he lists some of the characteristic beliefs of Baptists. Now, he lists some of the characteristics of the Baptist in his book and then on the things that he's written in the second volume on church history. You see, Newman did not believe all the doctrine of the early Baptists, but he did list some of their beliefs. And the following that I'm going to mention to you are part of that list. First of all, I see that they believed in the premillennial return of Christ. And of course, that's scriptural. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10, it says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. And we keep reading in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9. It says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation," in other words, deliverance, "by our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, premillennial, when you study this, you find that as you study this, everything connected to that means that the people of God are going to be taken out of here before the tribulation starts, before the wrath of God comes upon this world. And I would advise you, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, first, if you would die right now, you would go to a devil's hell. And if you would not die right now and you live on for some time, I don't know how long it's going to be before the Lord comes back for his church in the rapture of the church, but if you're here when the tribulation starts, you will go through something that is we'll say that it is something that is giving you a preview of what hell is going to be like for you. You will be cast into outer darkness. The Bible says that in the tribulation period that it's going to be a time that it's never been before and it's never going to be that bad again. And when we think of this, we're going to see as we study the Word of God, and possibly you've done this, I don't know, but as you study the Word of God, you find that during the tribulation period, there's going to be periods of darkness. And I believe it's the preview of what hell is going to be like for those people who have never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. My advice to you is to trust Jesus Christ. Ask him into your heart, even right now. "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I know I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. Lord, I know I can't go my way. I need to go yours. Please come into my heart and save me so that I can be with you one day." Well, as we keep studying the Word of God, we find that the early Anabaptists regarded the Lord's Supper as symbolical. And we think of this, and they saw this, and however, they believed that only baptized believers were admitted to communion. I mean, baptized believers, that's what we believe today as Baptists. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21 says, "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils." Now, I'm going to stop here, and next time I'm going to pick up with this, and we're going to look at the symbolical meaning of the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, as we think of that. And once again, let me advise you right now to bow your head and trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Repentance means you've decided to go God's way and not your way. You're sorry for your sin, and you want to ask Jesus Christ into your heart. I can't save you. No one else can save you except Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by him. In other words, you need to ask Jesus Christ into your heart right now so that one day I'll see you in heaven and we can rejoice together.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord.
May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.